Okay. So last week was just Yosef and I, but I'll summarize what we did. So we were on Birkat Hashanim. So what we did last week was to note that there seems to be a fundamental machloket in Birkat Hashanim, whether the fundamental idea in Birkat Hashanim is rain, or is parnasa, and rain is just one of the manifestations of that. We noted one nafkamina to that seems to be the girsaot, that in the Ashkenazi version, we just add v'tein talamot el bracha or v'tein bracha, depending on the time of year. In the Yehuda Mizrach version, there are different girsaot in the winter and in the summer, completely different. That sounds much more like it's rain is what it's all about, and parnasa is like secondary, but it's really about rain. And therefore, depending on the rain season, you daven it completely differently. As opposed to the Ashkenazi, where it sounds like, no, like, rain is like an element of this, but this is broader, it's about Parnassa. And we noted that, you know, in the Gemara you have this machloket as well. Are there three keys in the hand of God, or four? Which the Gemara says that why in Eretz Yisrael and Babel do they argue about this? Because it could be that rain and Parnassa are the same thing. And we went through some halachic nafkaminas of this issue following on the Truva Binyan Av. Now, what I want to do today is push this a little bit more, meaning how connected are rain and Parnassa really, and what is this centrality of rain, either being the main definition or at least a central definition, what does that tell us about the theme of the bracha? And perhaps answer one of our other questions last week, which is why is a bracha about rain / Parnassa called in the Lashon of Chazal Birkat Hashanim, the bracha of years. Right? What is the theme? Let me get at. So here, the Gemara on Daf Tet in Tanit tells you that Rabbi Yochanan distinguishes between rain and Parnassa, and he says Matar b'shvil yachid, Parnassa b'shvil rabim. Matar b'shvil yachid, dechtev yiftach Hashem lachar otzer atov, latein matar atzachah, parnasa b'shvil rabim, dechtev ni mamtir lachem lechem. That rain is for the individual, parnasa is for everyone. The Gemara says, meitveh, Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda Omer, shlosh parnasim tovim amdu li Yisrael, v'ein lohein Moshe, Aaron u'Miriam, v'shalosh matanot tovim nidnu al yadam, v'ein lohein be'er v'anan uman. This you all know, right? There were three sustainers of Israel, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. They had three tools, which were the Be'er, the clouds, and the Man. Man in the Schut of Moshe, the Anan in the Schut of Aaron, the Be'er in the Schut of Miriam. But then, as they started dying, Moshe was able to support all three. So after that whole discussion, the Gemara says, "Am Ashkan Parnasa b'Shvil Yachid." So you see that Moshe, that Parnasa can also be given in the schut of an individual because Moshe is carrying it all on his shoulders. So the Gemara says, "No, my Shani Moshe kevan dilarabim hu boy kirabim dami." Right? No, he was davening on behalf of the tzibor, so therefore Parnasa is still something that comes to Tfilat Harabim. Okay. Now, the Gvurd Ari and the Murmei Sada both note, they say, wait a second, I don't understand. On Daf Beis, which is what we saw last week in Tanit, so there it says that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says, why in Bavel do we only say there are three keys and not four? So Rabbi Yochanan says, because Parnassa is equivalent to rain. Rain is Parnassa. And yet, in the Gemara on Daf Tet, he tells you explicitly that rain is divin for Parnassa, because he says rain can be given in the schut of an individual, but Parnassa only in a rabbin, which means they're two conceptually different categories. So which is it? Are they the same or different? So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, so the Gemara already says, so he just says this is a question. He says, you see that there seems to be a stira. On Daf Beis, he says they're distinct, they're the same. On Daf Tet, he said they're distinct. The Murmei Sada says no. It depends what aspect you're looking at. In terms of the key, right? From the vantage point of God, they are equivalent. Because from God's perspective, he's just giving us Parnassa, and the way he does it with multiple tools. Rain is one of them. From the vantage point of man, these are distinct. So when it comes to tefillah, it's one thing, but when it comes to talking about God, right, what powers he holds for himself, It is different. Now, another possibility is to say these are different gersot. In some versions, it's not Rabbi Yochanan, it's Rabbi Yonatan. That wouldn't solve it. Why do I even bother going into this? Only to say that this further complicates it, right? To say that, in a certain sense, that they're the same. In a certain sense, they're different, right? You can always say, right, that this question is somewhat academic because, right, even within Rabbi Yochanan, in a certain senses, Parnas and Rain are equivalent. In certain senses, they're not. But when it comes to tefillah, they're not quite. You're supposed to distinguish. When it comes to God, they're the same, but they're clearly related. So therefore, in order to understand anything, we're going to really have to understand this. So I'm going to skip down a little bit here and say as follows. What would it mean to say that rain is either the theme or, if not the theme, a central theme? So here, you might have heard me give a version of the shir at some point, but this is something that I think is the key to all of it. And this is going to answer why it's called Birkat HaShanim. What is the theology of rain in Torah? Torah has a very distinct theology of rain. What is it? Yeah, what type of blessing? It's very specific. And if you don't know this, then it's good you're learning it now. Rain represents Parnassa that is provided from God. And what represents Parnassa that is provided without obvious hashkacha? Rivers. Right? Rain isn't just Parnassa. Rain is the type of Parnassa that God gives you as part of a relationship and therefore is responsive to a relationship.
Isn't that people say that one of the reasons that Eretz Yisrael is considered closer to God is because there's no like major rivers or anything?
Yeah, good. Who says that? The Chumash. It's not a Chiddush, right? This is something you just have to know, so let me run through it. Okay? Listen to it. This is Dvarim Parakhet. Okay? Dvarim. Like God. Ki Adonai Elhecha Miviachal Eretz Tova Eretz Nachlai Mai Mai Notu Mod Yotim Vavuka Bahar Eretz Chitav Sarah Gevintin Avrimon Eretz Yishevan Devash Eretz Asher Lo Bimiskinu Tochav Alechem Lo Techsar Kolba Eretz Asher Nevar Zem Eretz Achov Nechoshet. Okay. Now, if you, right, God is bringing you into this great land. Perek Yud. Vata Yisrael ma Adonai Elecha Shom Elimach Ki Imlira Adonai Elecha Lecha Bechol Derechav Lavav Ter Lavad Adonai Elecha Bechol Levavcha Bechol Nafshecha Lishmor Nizvod Adonai Vetchu Kotav Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Yom Letov Lach. God is commanding you to keep the Torah. That's what God wants from you. Ushmartem et kol mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom l'man techezku v'atem v'yereshtem et haaretz asher atem ovrim shama l'rishta l'man terichu al yamim asher nishba adonai l'avodechem l'teit l'hem l'zaram eretz avatcha l'avodvash. You keep the mitzvah in order to be zocha to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so point one, Eretz Yisrael. You keep the Torah in order to be Zohar Eretz Yisrael. So one representation of that is Galut. But the other is Parnassa in Eretz Yisrael. Because in order to ensure that you live in the land and it's clear to you that your right to the land is only if you keep the Torah, so Hashem made it that in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is dependent on rain, meaning on God directly, as opposed to which country which is not?
Egypt.
So Dvarim Perek Yud Aleph, ki aretz et erusha davam shama lirishta lo cheretz Mitzrayim hi asher yatzad misham asher tizrat zerachav ishkita v'rechal kigan hayarak. It's not like Mitzrayim where you watered it kigan hayarak with your feet. What does that mean? What does that mean? You ever thought about what that means? You watered it with your feet. You barely need to do anything. What did you need to do? What did you do with your feet? Not stomp on it, but the water was coming from the river anyways, and there were tributaries. So all you had to do was kick open the irrigation, and the water would just flow in by itself. It was nothing. Eretz Yisrael, asher aretz asher atem ovrim shama lirishta eretz harim of kahogim tar shamayim tishamayim. But Eretz Yisrael needs rain, therefore it's Eretz Asher Na'alecha Dorishu Dotamid, Eini Ad Na'alecha Ba, Mirishin HaShana, V'acharei HaShana. And therefore God needs to pay attention to it. And now what's the key words? Mirishin HaShana, V'acharei HaShana. So I think, if you understand that, suddenly you understand why it's important that Parnassa be connected to rain, and why the name of this bracha be Birkat HaShanim. Because the point isn't you're not just that you're asking for Parnassa. What are you asking for? You're asking for parnasa, recognizing that parnasa is a function of zchut. And therefore it's important that whether this is the main theme or secondary, a central part of it for sure has to be rain. Because it's, even if it's about parnasa, it is be parnasa is understood through the lens of the theology of rain, which is that you only deserve parnasa if you keep the mitzvot. And therefore we call the bracha Birkat Hashanim. Because even if it's about parnasa, it's through the lens of the agricultural, the lessons of the agricultural cycle, which are
God.
Yeah, exactly, right? And therefore, depending on the year, right? Like, this is weird. It shouldn't be raining in Sivan, right? That's wrong. This is wrong. God is angry at us, right?
Good timing to cover this.
Yeah, it's great. Right? The Ramban there says, "Du'ulachem, she'enu keretz Mitzrayim lashkodo ta beregel min ayorim min agamim kigana yarak." Right? Eretz arim v'kodot l'mitara shamayim tishtamayim. One of the reasons this is true is because Israel needs rain, especially on its mountains, because you don't get rivers going up mountains, right? He says that's why it says it in that context, and that's why God has to be Doresho Tatamid. Now I didn't put here, but one of the other key sources in this regard is Rashi in the beginning of the Torah, because Rashi, if you want to capture all of the theology of Torah in one midrash, right? What does Rashi say? How did the world start? Right? There's a stira.
Like God spoke.
So right. So Rashi says, wait a second. There's a stira. Did grain, did produce and vegetation come before Avram or after? And what Adam or after? What's one of the solutions?
I think he says that it was the buds existed, and then Adam had to pray for rain, and then they like.
Bidyuk is that they came up to the tip of the ground, but they hid underground until Adam came and davened, and once he davened, rain came down and everything came into bloom, meaning it was ready to come out, but it wouldn't actually come out of the ground until Adam davened. What Chazal are capturing in that, right, in that point is that central to the idyllic world is this, is that produce, parnasa, rain, there will be this visceral connection between you and God. This hashkacha will be obvious. Right, in that connection will be obvious. And if you want another Gemara which drives this home, Tanit Davyud says, Tanu Rabbanan, Eretz Yisrael Nivra Tchila V'chol Olam Kulo Nivra Basov, Shin Nemar Adlaos Eretz V'chutzot. Eretz Yisrael was created first, okay. Second point, Eretz Yisrael Mashka Oto HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'atzmo. It's not just that it's rain, but God, so to speak, waters it himself. He makes the rain come down himself. V'chol Olam Kulo Al Yidei Shliach, and the rest of the world through a Shliach. Now I will note, and this is something that maybe we can do another time, but the question of whether when you're asking for parnasa and rain, you're asking specifically for parnasa and rain in Eretz Yisrael, that's the primary thing and everything else is secondary, or not, becomes very important when you talk about B'tein Talamata
L'Vracha.
When do you start it? And even more so, right, so we know that you start it in Bavel, right, the way you do it, right, 60 days of the Kufa, which is around December 4th, 5th. But this got even more complicated, because there you could say, okay, I wait a little bit longer. Yes, exactly. But it got more complicated from a halachic perspective
when now
Jews moved to the southern hemisphere, and it wasn't just a delaying, but it was actually reversed. What do you do? And there were basically three positions that emerged. Either when you're totally opposite of Eretz Yisrael, you daven for yourself, or you always daven for Eretz Yisrael, or what became the compromise position, which was Baruch Aleinu, you always daven for Eretz Yisrael, but if you need rain, you say Neshma Koleinu. Right? And this question, right, so like, you always daven Baruch Aleinu based on summer and winter in Eretz Yisrael, but if you are in your rainy season, but it's not the rainy season in Israel, so you'll say B'tein Dalam Matel Racha and Shema Koleinu. Right? Because you're allowed to ask for whatever you want, Shema Koleinu. And that's the place where you'd meet Mashlam anyways, B'tein Dalam Matel Racha. So this question of, right, is it that you're actually only asking for Eretz Yisrael, or you're asking for yourself through the theology of Eretz Yisrael, right, has these halachic manifestations of it.
You can't start the
Now, a lot of these theological ideas I found were captured in Parsha, Sefer Parsha Drachim, in Drush Echad Ve'esrim, where he really connects a lot of these. But I won't read it there. If you don't have it in front of you, I'm not going to read a long piece like that. Okay, so those are some of the main points I wanted to make. I had a few more points I would make on the bracha. So the Avudraham, if I just want to read through the Avudraham and sort of pick a few ideas there. So Avudraham says, Baruch Alinu Hashem Elokeinu Shana Hazot Al Shem Mitzivei Dibrachati Lochem Uvirachti Lochem Al Hashanim. So this is all types of fruit. He quotes Psukim for this. And he is the one, right, when I say that the source for the theology of Berkat HaShanim is reign of Merish HaShana, that's from the Avudraham, where he says that's where Shanim HaTovot, Shanim HaTovot, right, that is from that point. And then he says, "Hamon am koren chus v'rachem aleinu v'akol tuata." Some people say, "Have mercy on us." And he says, "It's wrong because the bracha is al levakej v'rachamim al tuata shana." That is the theme, further emphasizing this notion that it is a bad, that rain is central. Okay, a few other points I would make. So one is that tivit the baruch alinu hashana zot al shem v'tivit yirbechati lochem. So the Avudraham says that the beginning of the bracha is from the pasuk of v'tivit yirbechati lochem. Where is that from? It's vayikra chav hei. And I think that if you look at those sukkim, you get another level to this bracha. Where does he think that phrase comes from? Yovel. Where God says, remember we did this in Parsha last week? The Shemitah Yovel, what will I eat for 3 years? And God's answer is? That I will give you extra food. So, but what does this add by saying that we get that first phrase from that pasuk in Yovel? I think a few things. One is that it highlights the fact that this bracha is about driving home that we need to trust in God. And the other is, what is the theology of Yovel? Kili Haaretz, right? That God will write, and Kili Haaretz, that God owns everything, right? And I think that invoking those pesukim are central to the way we daven about Parnassa. The next psukim that he derives it from, which is uverachti lachem al hashanim. So one source is merichet hashana achret shana. The other is psukim in Yoel. Yoel perik bed uvenei tzion gilu v'simchu b'adonai aleichem ki natan lachem et hamorel et tzedakah v'yored lachem geshem morel malkosh barishon umalu agarnot bar v'ishki ve'shiku ayikavim tirosh v'yitzar v'shalamti lachem al hashanim asher alchar rabbe ayelek v'chatzil v'gazam v'chav chili gadol sheshachti v'chem v'achaltem ochol v'sova v'yilatem et shem anay aleichem shalasem echem lafli v'levoshu ami le'olam v'idatem ki v'kerib Yisrael ani v'ani adonai aleichem v'in od v'levoshu ami le'olam. So on the Perek Aleph talks about a terrible plague of locusts, and Perek Bet says, and God says, eventually I'll bring rain and I'll fill up what? Yovel. That I'll eventually bring back all of your. I'll basically make up all the money that you lost, and refill your coffers, and you will know that I'm God. And again, you see the same thing, right? That why would you invoke Psukim from Yoel? Because the whole theology of Yoel and Perek Bet is exactly that: is that after suffering, when suddenly I start providing again, you will know that your parnasa comes from me. And I think that if you keep checking up the psukim that the Avudraham thinks the bracha barchalena are on, whether it be about rain or it be about anything else, the theology is consistently the same. That the psukim that we're quoting are bringing us back to different angles of remember that you rely on God. Now I will just note that Yoel, it's actually not clear whether this is actual locust and rain or whether it's a mashal for the Assyrians who swarm down like locusts, and therefore the rain is also a mashal, which would complicate things. But one thing that is interesting that I think in this context is a point that Rai Karmi makes. And this, Rai Angel summarizes it, and he says, Rai Shalom Karmi has observed that the book of Yoel is unique in prophetic literature. What's unique about it? Darius, what's unique about Yoel and all the books of...
Does it have a superscript?
In not identifying any sin as cause for a specific disaster, nor as impotence for repentance. There is no Avera and Tshuva. It's just there are catastrophes and God provides afterwards. Following the teachings of Rai Salvatric, Rai Karmi explains that there are two types of repentance. Repentance for sins and introspection as a result of adversity. When tragedy strikes, we must examine ourselves and try to come closer to God, even if we cannot ascertain any specific sins of which we are guilty. The point can be pushed further. Joel did not need to be a prophet in order to speak to the people as he did. Everyone witnessed the plague. Joel is calling for fast and repentance, which any religious leader can do with or without prophecy. Indeed, the sages of the Talmud use Joel's prayer as a model for their own prayers during public fast days. So what he points out is that when there wasn't rain, we would take the psukim from Yoel as part of our tefillah. But what's interesting is that you would think that if the theology here is, you know, Scharvonish is so central, so we should know Scharvonish. But no, the book that's chosen, both for our davening for rain and for Baruch Aleinu, is one that says, yes, your parnasa depends on God. Yes, your parnasa depends on tshuva, but not necessarily any specific sin. It's just that you're supposed to have a posture towards God, where whenever you need something, you turn to God, whether or not you know that you did something wrong. Right, you're just, that's always your posture is, I need God, and whenever I need God, the way I, you know, just the way I live through life is by improving myself, by trying to improve my relationship with God, with the belief that that will make things better, even if I can't pinpoint what it is. And I think adding that point to Baruch Aleinu is very important to say, yes, critical more than perhaps anything else to Parnassa is the belief that God's in control. Right, because that's specifically where we're worried you're going to say, Kochi v'otzem yadi. But on the other hand, Dafka, we invoke Yoel to remind us that that doesn't mean that you have to start, you know, playing games and saying, well, I lost, you know, $100, right? I didn't get my raise this year because I did this sin. Or I got a raise, I must be a matzadik. The answer is no. The proper posture when it comes to parnasa is just to be always thinking about the fact that I need God. And I need to be improving my ways constantly. And I believe that that will help me in parnasa. I don't need to talk about specifics, and I think Dafka, in the context of Parnassa, that's very powerful. Right? To say that you have to believe it comes from God, and therefore you always have to believe that you have to be working in yourself to deserve sustenance, and whatever you have, recognize God. But unlike like Slachlanu and Tshuva and all those brachot where you might want to speak about specific aspects of your avodah Hashem, when it comes to Parnassa, it's just that recognition that comes from God that's important. The details matter less than the general state of mind that you need to have, because, again, Parnassa is the one where if you don't have that mindset, it's the one that most dangerously flows over into hubris. Because you become rich and you say, oh, it's all me. Right? By Parnassa, it's not really about what you did to deserve this or what you didn't do to not deserve it. Right? What it is remember that everything's from God. Right? It's more about creating that relationship and that state of mind than it is about specific details, and therefore invoking Pesukim from Yoel, where Yoel doesn't talk about specific things. He just said, oh, you need Parnassa, daven to God. Oh, God gave you Parnassa? You got Parnassa? Know that it comes from God. There is no, it happened because of this sin. It's just, if you don't have Parnassa, daven to God. If you get Parnassa, thank God. That's it. Right? That sort of basic recognition of the importance of relationship with God and that God is the one we have to thank for all that we have is most central in Parnassa, and therefore invoking Yoel, which doesn't have all sort of the baggage of specific Scharvonish, really adds to this idea. Okay, the last points I would make on this. So far we've answered, right, we've talked about the connection of rain and Parnassa in general. The second thing we talked about is why is Baruch Aleinu called Birkat HaShanim, and we said it seems to be because of this theological points from the connection to rain. Right? The third point I would make, and this was the last question I'd raised originally on it, which is, why of all bracha that God gives us, is the bracha for Parnassa called bracha? Right, think about this bracha. Right, every bracha ends with Baruch Ata Hashem, but this one, everything about it is Baruch Ata Hashem. Bracha al pnei adamah. Why is it that everything else there's the bakasha And then Baruch Ata Hashem, where as opposed to the bracha parnasa, is referred to as give us bracha. Right? What is unique about rain and parnasa that it isn't just a bracha, it seems to be
the bracha.
It's the paradigm, right? It's the bracha of bracha. Right? Give us bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem. So several of the Achronim I put here just Rebik, but note that bracha seems to mean, in general, something like multiply, right? Increase, right? That seems to be the literal meaning of bracha. Now, some of the more Kabbalistically or Gematria-oriented people will say, you know that because the three letters of Baruch are all doubles, right? The Gematria is 222. Right, it's this. The very letters of them are doubles. I'm not sure. I love it. Others will say will say that the etymology is brecha, right? Like an ever flowing spring. But
isn't that more like a pool
or a spring? But yeah. Right. So, but everyone seems to agree in certain sense that brecha has to do with producing and multiplying. And to be fair, you get evidence of this because what's the first brecha that you get in Tanakh? Yeah, what bracha? Purvu. Right? The first time that you see God blessing the people is when he's telling them to be fruitful and multiply. So, bracha seems to always refer to this type of growth and the like. So, what Rav Bick argues is that if that's the case, when we're asking for parnasa, we're not just asking for God to hand us money. We're asking for is God give us the ability to produce and be productive, right? Utilize the powers of agriculture, right? To grow things. So we're not asking for a silver plate. We're saying let there be rain so that we will be able to produce things, right? So this is the bracha. We're not asking, right, healing. We're really asking God, like, make us healthy. By parnasa, we're saying, God, don't make me lose my job, right? Not let me inherit $1 million tomorrow so I don't have to work. Right, it's make sure I keep my job. It's not make it that bread grows out of the ground. It's make sure it rains so that I can successfully grow things myself. Right, parnasa is the one where we turn to God and we say, "Give us, don't give us the end result. Give us bracha. Give us the ability to produce." We're not asking for you to give us right a gift. We're asking for you to give the ability to do things ourselves. And he argues that that's also the emphasis on time, right? That here we're not asking, right? We're asking for right birkat hashanim. We're saying not give us something now. We're invoking that pasuk of me'rishit hashana v'acharit shana. God, I want you to be with me for this year to help me, right? I'm asking about the process. I'm saying to help us set in motion through the whole year that we're constantly able to produce by emphasizing time. And calling this the Birkat HaShanim, it's the one bracha where we dafka emphasize this isn't short term. Right? It's not like I have a cold today, so make me feel better before I go to sleep tonight. Right? No one, right? When you ask for parnasa, you don't say, look, I'm struggling right now. Right? Let me win the lottery tonight, right? Or today. What you're asking for is, let me have a lifestyle in the long term that allows me to be productive. And by invoking agriculture, right? And by calling it Birkat HaShanim, and invoking all these psukim about rain, we're emphasizing that in the Birkat HaShanim, where we're asking God again, from the psukim in Yoel, is simply that we depend on God, and that we always have to be improving our relationship with God, regardless of whether we can pinpoint what it is we did wrong. And right, that's what we're doing. It's just the posture that we have towards God is we depend on you. We remember that by invoking rain, where the theology of Tanakh is not having to feel like you're in need is bad. That's Mitzrayim, you forget God. Therefore, having river is bad. Having rain and being dependent on rain means you're always in relationship with God, good. And the third is that we don't even bother asking God to give us the money. We ask Him for bracha. We ask Him for the ability to produce. Which is, I think, also key, because I think for Tanakh, that's why the having parnasa is the one that most likely leads to hubris, right? Because we're expected to put in the effort. That's why it's the one that we're most likely to say kochiv otzei miyadi asalei rachayel hazeh, that it was all me. But if we ask God, not for the end result, but we say, God, give us the ability to produce, what are we drilling into our heads already?
That God is the one.
That even though it's us engaged in the process, it's you who gave us the tools, and we have to recognize that. And therefore, we say, give us the bracha. Don't give us the end result. Give us the ability to produce, so that when we produce, we'll still remember it came from you. And all of those things are central to the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. Yeah. Okay, I think I'll stop there. I had a few other points here, but I think I will... The other point I would just make is that you do see certain similar theological points. And if you had to look for a bracha where you might expect certain other theological points, what bracha would you expect to see similar overlapping ideas? Benching. No. In general, the other bracha, the one biblical Torah, the biblical one, and I think it right makes sense. Right, when you're satiated, you have to thank God, and dafka there you see that it's not generic. The bracha are specifically oriented towards thinking about Eretz Yisrael, which, as I've already said, in the theology of Tanakh, is unique because it's a place that functions on rain and therefore requires you to constantly recognize that you're dependent on God, and that's why you're not Yotzei benching without mentioning Eretz Yisrael, and why we say V'sabeinu, and there's different girsa. In some girsa, it's mituva. Right? That even though we're in Chutz, even if you're in Chutz Laretz, we're not, thank God, right? We're here, but you always say V'sabeinu mituva. That even when you're in Chutz Laretz, you ask for your satiation to come from Eretz Yisrael. I don't think it means Jaffa oranges. Right? It means that wherever you're making Parnassa, the theology of Parnassa that emerges from the agricultural cycle and the precipitation and everything in Israel is supposed to inform the way you think about Parnassa, which is that it's mituva, right? That it's that which God gives you and that you're dependent on God. So those are the ideas that I ask on Baruch Aleinu. It's good to be back in person, and then